Welcome to The Leadership Line, a podcast that covers everyday work issues from dealing with jerks at work to feeling burnt out. Tammy and Scott's experience, along with their different perspectives, help listeners grow, examine realistic options and alternatives, and identify those actionable solutions to the tough issues we face every day at work.
Tammy and Scott.
Yo.
Well, welcome to the Become More Garden, where a little bit of fertilizer goes a long ways.
Oh, Scott, you're so full of it.
Hey, here's the thing. What my dad used to say, because my youngest sister and he had brown eyes. The rest of us, mom and middle sister and I, have blue eyes. And his saying would be, if you're brown eyes, you're full of shit. And if you're blue eyed, you're a quart low.
Oh, I actually love that saying. However, you should have had brown eyes.
Oh, well, I'm a quart low because I'm providing fertilizer.
There you go.
Doing my part.
Well, you know, last week we talked a lot about performance, and we touched a little bit in that session about feedback and asking the important questions of, you know, what went well, what didn't go well, what do we want to do differently next time? This also came up for me in a recent coaching session. Essentially, the question that my coachee and I talked about is, how do you create an atmosphere in your team, your department, your group, where feedback is very normal, where people seek feedback, accept feedback, where it doesn't feel weird? There's no, you know, you've been in those situations where you get so little feedback that when you do get feedback, it feels kind of oppressive or maybe inspires shame, or because it's not a normal everyday thing where we just talk all the time about how do we get better. If you work in an environment where right now feedback feels heavy, how do you turn the ship on that to create a culture where feedback is normal?
This is, in my opinion, a huge opportunity for the vast majority of organizations in the United States. Scott, do you know any organization that feedback is just a conversation?
I know organizations that say that, and I've worked in organizations that say that. I think in many cases, what happens is three things. We just don't give the feedback. We have to give feedback, and we have to do that at some regular interval that's more frequent than once a year.
Lots more frequent than once a year.
The second part is how you do it. Now, I've worked in organizations that the feedback was given. How they did it drove fear.
Correct.
And then I think the third part is it truthful and meaningful? Which some people might say, well, that's in the how. But I think there is this element of, are you doing it in a way they can hear? For me, the truthful and meaningful is like, does that feedback matter in that moment?
Does it matter in the scheme? So we can give feedback on stuff that is so minute because I'm just an anal human being and I want to point out that tiny little thing. 99% of it is great. 80% of it is great, whatever, but I'm going to find things to pick at. That's not meaningful. That's not helpful in that spot. And I do think sometimes we give feedback about stuff that really just let it go. That's not important enough. It's just my opinion, or it's my preference, or it's, you know, that just bugs me. And so I bring it to the table. There's some stuff we just don't need to get feedback on in that spot. So I do think, you know, should we? Is it worth it? Is it the right thing? Of all the things to talk about, that's the thing that you want to take your big old spotlight and put it on. I think sometimes leaders haven't really thought through.
No, I think of a staff member who asked me one time, I don't know that I handled this perfectly well as a leader. It was a great maybe learning moment for both of us. And they asked me, you know, am I giving them all the feedback? And I said, yes. And they said, well, it doesn't seem like it. I said, well, how I handle it, I'm going to give you what I believe is the most important, impactful feedback in this moment. And you're right, there may be three other things, but I don't need to give you 10 things.
It's piling on.
There's no reason. And what they said was, no, I want it. I want it all. I said, no, I really don't think you do. No, I absolutely do. And I said, I want you to think about, do you really want that? Come back to me later today. And if you really do, I'll start. They came back later that day and said, yes, I really do. I said, okay. They didn't make it a day.
Did they know who they were talking to?
They did not make it a day. They're like, could we go back to how it was before? Absolutely.
Sure. Maybe other people don't think the way that we think. So when we're looking at staff, there probably are, I'm just going to say, in any given day, 20 or 30 things that could help them up their game.
If you use Cy Wakeman's research, we miss 50.
Okay. So if there's 50 things a day that I can look at and tell my staff you could get better at, no one in their right mind can do 50 things.
That's only 18,250 things a year.
Well, yeah, just a small little number. And in all honesty, some of those have a bigger return on investment than others. Now, the other thing before I go any further is I really want people to understand that when I'm saying that there's 50 things and I can look at each member of my staff and say 50 things today, that also means that there's 50 things that I need to do better. It's not just them. I'm not any different than my staff members. There is no like, oh, Tammy, she's arrived and she doesn't have any places to grow and get better. That is BS. So when I say a staff member, I also need to say that I, if I had a boss, and I don't really, Scott tries, but okay. But every single day, Scott could look at me and say, and Tammy, there's 50 things for you. And I could look at Scott and say, there's 50 things for him. So in this place, it means every single human being, everyone has opportunities to get better. But as your leader, the discernment to decide what is it that we're going to talk about, what is it that is going to move the needle and make a difference for that human being's success in the organization, that is something that we have to do. And if we don't do that well, we are actually doing that employee a disservice. And in the end, feedback is not about getting you to do what I want you to do. Feedback is helping that person realize their potential and the way that they can add value in the organization that they're working with right now. Because when we do that, that person starts to feel good and confident and understands how much they contribute and how much they're needed and necessary. If we don't do that as a leader, shame on us. A lot of leaders avoid it, Scott. They avoid having these conversations.
And I think there's lots of reasons why. I don't know how. I'm busy. It's uncomfortable.
All of those are excuses. If I had a staff member and they said to me, well, I didn't get that because, and they have all, I'm going to look at them and say, hey, let's get rid of the excuses. What are you going to do to get there? Because this is necessary. And I would say this to any formal leader. Okay. Don't give me an excuse. This is a foundational responsibility that you have as a leader. And you need to learn how to do it. You need to know how to do it well, and you need to know how to do it in a timely basis. Honestly, one of the reasons why feedback sucks is because the leader waits until they're angry or frustrated, and then they take that anger and frustration that has now motivated them to say something, and they take that emotion and they put it on this other human being, and they tell that human being that they're bad or wrong. Where if they'd actually just said, hey, let's talk about how that thing, what just happened. Let's talk about what worked. Let's talk about what didn't work so well. And let's talk about what you could do differently later. And notice I'm not giving them the answer. I'm asking them to think it through. Because if I really respect my staff, they're brilliant. And if I ask the right questions, they can actually figure out what they could do to be better next time. And I'm not telling them anything. I'm just giving them the space to think it through and decide. And I will say, we've indoctrinated people to say, yes, boss, whatever you want, boss, tell me what to do, boss. And instead, we need to create a culture. So to go back, Carmen, to your question, how do we create this culture? Is I don't give them feedback. I make space for them to think through what's currently going on and what they could do differently to get the outcomes that they want. And if we change that from one where I'm going to point it out, I am going to tell you what to do, I have the answer to, hey, let's talk about that. What did you like about that experience? What didn't you like about that experience? And what are you going to, what could you do differently? How can I support you in that doing that thing differently? It changes the nature of feedback to one where it's a growth conversation instead of a gotcha conversation.
Circling back to then that original question of Carmen's, how do we normalize it? If we think about it in an ideal state, it starts at the top and it cascades down. It just becomes, and you onboard people that way. If I'm an individual and I'm not at the top of the organization, I can start small. I don't even have to start with my leader. I could go to a peer and I could just say, hey, what am I doing that makes your job easier or better? What am I doing that actually kind of makes it more difficult for you to do your job? Start having conversations like that with a trusted person that you know in the organization.
The outward mindset, right?
Which is really is starting to do that and have those conversations, even in your team. If you're a supervisor or a manager, and okay, yeah, I'm not, you know, it's easy to say, well, my boss doesn't do that. So what stops you? You can do it with your team and normalize it with your team. And so part of it is just starting, and it may be awkward at the beginning. I actually think the easiest way is to use the right No Rules Rules Netflix book and their highlight spotlight. What's something since the last time we've met that has gone really, really well? What's something since the last time we've met that was not so great? And, you know, at the beginning, people won't share real ones. They'll be a little bit superficial, especially on the spotlight kind of yucky ones. And the more that becomes normal, they'll start bringing real ones to the table. I'm seeing that even with our team.
Absolutely.
They're really starting to bring real ones to the table. Like, whoa, I really jacked that up.
And what's interesting, I've been paying attention because we've been doing highlights and spotlights, I don't know, Scott, forever.
Year and a half, 2 years.
And if you look at it, I think honestly, it's taken well over a year to get real in the spots where, you know, they're saying this didn't go so well. They oftentimes will bring, you know, they bring something, but it's not a very big or painful one. When they actually bring the first time a bigger painful one, I have started to like, hey, thank you. Because in that place, it's scary to get that vulnerable. But that is our methodology. Highlights. What's the highlight since we met last time? And that can be personal or professional. And spotlight. What's the thing that hasn't gone well? Okay. How did you like overcome it? And what's the learning lesson in that for you and for others so that we can learn from one another? So I think having it be part of your conversation where there is no retribution, just celebration for the learning. That is a way to normalize it in that particular spot. I also think the how you go about this, instead of waiting, coming as a leader, coming to the table and having a conversation about how could you do that better. After action meetings is what the, or after action debriefs is what the military does. Again, not for anything like to like call someone on the carpet, but simply to say, hey, if we do this, we will learn how to save lives in the future. So it's not about catching them doing it wrong. It's about saving lives for the next time there's action. And so when you think about that, there's a really big reason why that's super important to every single person in that room, because the last thing that they want to do is to lose a comrade. Well, think about that at work. We're not in the military. If we could actually think about having these conversations after action conversations, it means we are trying to do everything we can to help this person be successful, to retain them, to have them add value in the organization so we don't lose them. I think that's critical thing to do so that we're not just running through staff all the time. What is the reason why? Explain the reason why. I'm not mad at you. I want you to succeed. Let's talk about it. I think that's another piece of it, Scott.
I like the connection to the after action review. It is about saving lives, and it's about turnover costs in organization. The last research I've seen is about 3 times annual salary. Someone's annual salary with wages and benefits is probably around 50, and that's on the low end. That means it costs you 150 grand in time, effort, energy, resources. If I can save one, or if I can prevent someone from popping out by doing this, let alone the boost in performance you get on your team or the organization. If you look at the Gallup research here in the last year, engaged organizations are 20% more profitable.
That's unbelievable. 20%. And we're seeing engagement levels were pretty steady for a long time.
Yeah.
They are dropping rapidly. It's like statistically, it's a very odd thing to watch this drop in terms of that. In terms of how the Gallup, and if we're just looking at Gallup data, that is what they have been telling us for the last 12 to 18 months, that holy moly, look at this. This is kind of scary. And a big part of that is one of the things we learned coming out of COVID and working from home and all of the disruption that happened in that time is people started to say what's important to me. And one of the things is they want to know that the place that I work values me. And the place that I work and the work that I do has value. And if we're not actually taking the time in feedback to help people discover how they can add value, as well as to make sure that they know where they are currently adding value, both of those things, we are going to say people say, enough of this. I have choices. And they absolutely have choices. And so what are we doing to help that person grow and become more? Because that's an innate thing. Every single person really wants to reach their potential. And so becoming more, I mean, that's not just the name of our organization, like because we picked it out of the air. It's because that's truly what every human being wants for themselves. And if we as an organization can help them do that, it supports the individual. And in the end, it supports the organization. It's a win-win situation. We have to normalize it. So let's just have after-action conversations all the time. Let's, in our meetings, talk about what went well and what didn't go well. Let's not wait till we're angry and bring negative emotion into the room because something didn't go well. If we start bringing that negative emotion into the room and only use feedback as a place where now I'm angry and we're going to like talk about it and I'm going to put you in your place, well, then feedback is never going to be something that people want versus this is a growth conversation, not a feedback conversation. And let's use different words. If there's a need for someone to do something differently, let's talk about corrective action, not feedback. But if we are doing quote unquote feedback early and often, we're not going to have corrective conversations because they are self-correcting along the way as they analyze their behavior and their results.
And that wraps up this week's episode of The Leadership Line. As always, feel free to reach out to us in the emails provided in this podcast description box, and be sure to check out our upcoming episodes always announced on LinkedIn. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next week.